There are 40 million stories like Lydia's around the world. 40 million enslaved to human sex trafficking. It is a $150 billion a year industry. It is a machine. It is well oiled. Traffickers are highly intelligent and cunning and very good at what they do. The United States is the second largest market in the world for human sex trafficking, behind Germany. Germany was foolish enough many years ago to legalize prostitution. And in doing so, they saw human sex trafficking explode by more than 400%. Let us not make that same mistake. It is the number two largest criminal enterprise and the fastest growing criminal enterprise in the United States, where we call home. And in fact, there are 4 to 5 million people enslaved to human sex trafficking in this country that we call home. And when you say 4 to 5 million, that's a difficult number to picture. So let's take 4 million and generalize that equally across our 50 states, and that's 80,000 victims per state. Nine in 10 victims in the United States of America are American domestic. Only 1 in 10 is a foreign national. Sometimes when we watch the media or listen to the narratives coming out of Hollywood, we believe that this is a foreign national problem created by immigration. 9 in 10 are American domestic. In the United States, 98% of those enslaved to human sex trafficking are female. Those percentages change in other countries around the world, especially in Asia and Southeast Asia, where you see a greater incidence of men and boys. But in the United States, 98% are female. 50% are minors. Now, I just told you that 4 to 5 million are enslaved to human sex trafficking in the United States. And half of those are minors. The average age of entry into human sex trafficking in the United States is 12 to 13 years old. After a person is enslaved full-time to the life, as it's called, their life expectancy is 7 years, during which time they'll be forced to sell their body more than 6,000 times. It is of epidemic proportions. It is in our backyards. It did not reach $150 billion, become the second largest, fastest growing criminal enterprise in the United States by being in urban blighted communities. It is in your communities. It is in my community. It is in our schools. It is in our movie theaters and our shopping malls. It is in our sports complexes and concerts. And it sits next to you in the pew of churches. But we don't see it, do we? Do we not know what we're looking for? Are we a hypersexualized society that is blind now to recognizing the red flags and the signs of someone that is being trafficked because they live among us? It is not Hollywood. They are not taken. Through fraud, force, and coercion, traffickers most often will get a picture or a video through social media and then use that to blackmail, making the phone call, saying, here, I can prove that I have the video or picture of you. It's about ready to be sent to everyone in your school, in your community, in your church, everyone that you know, and it's about ready to be uploaded to 10, 20, hundreds of pornographic sites. Unless you meet me on Friday night at the movie theater, and I'll pick you up. And the trafficker whisks away the scared, bewildered victim to a hotel or motel and makes them sleep with men, and returns them afterwards to be picked up maybe by their parents or their friends. But the point is, they go back to school, they go back to their jobs, and we sit next to them, and we eat with them, and we worship with them, and we see movies with them, and we shop with them, and we don't know it. We are at war. Make no mistake, this is a war. If you don't want to be at war, then you shouldn't be here. But we are at war. I am only 50 years old, and so I have not seen war in my lifetime. But I know this, that wars are not won when the last bomb is dropped. Wars are won when those who have prevailed go in and rebuild the people who are the collateral damages of that war. And when they give them hope and they restore their lives. And if we are at war, then we must restore the collateral damages of this war, the survivors of human sex trafficking. And it requires a proportionate response. And as our beautiful and amazing board of directors, and as our beautiful and amazing staff, built upon the 5 years, the 6 years since our founding, and that Restoration House had earned a national reputation and been afforded a national voice in this cause. And like David said, our heads came together and we said, then more, then we will dream more, we will dream bigger. Because this war requires a proportionate response. In 2019, as Dr. Rodney Hammer mentioned, Restoration House opened our home for minors, the Maybe House, in our partnership with the Missouri Baptist Children's Home. This home for minors, confidentially and privately located, with a capacity of 7 minors, ages 11 to 17, was a much needed resource and response to what was happening here in Kansas City. With only 600 beds nationwide for minor survivors of human sex trafficking, Restoration House knew that we had to do something. Sadly, within hours after its opening, the first accepted resident was an 11-year-old from Kansas City. We also opened Rehope Market and Cafe, a coffee shop and eatery in Greenwood, Missouri. It's coffee for a cause. Our Rehope Market not only helps us spread awareness and have a footprint within the community, but it gives us a place to do job training for survivors. And maybe more importantly, it allows us to inspire a community to join us in activism and volunteerism and join us in this fight. We knew as an organization that we wanted to take the lead. Dream big. I am a man of deep faith. And you do not have to share my faith. I welcome you that are of my faith, of a differing faith, of great faith, of little faith, or of no faith. My faith simply drives me. It drives our organization. Let our faith inspire you. We knew we had to take the lead because we saw programs nationwide, and the recidivism rates are 80 to 90%. Why are the recidivism rates 80 to 90%? Because these programs are not equipping survivors with the skills that it will take to survive in the real world. And when someone would rather go back to the hell and to the abuse that they were enduring instead of live day to day, ill-equipped, where failure every day is a certainty, there's a problem. And so we challenged ourselves to do more. The vision came to us in a mysterious way, as God often does. How many of you have daughters at college or university? I sent my daughter to Oklahoma Baptist University 2 years ago. And you, as you may have surmised, my daughter grew up in a good home with a mom and dad that loved her and leaned into her, with three brothers that loved her and leaned into her. And we gave her the resources that she would need to be successful and to maximize her potentials. And although she is not spoiled rotten, she is the center of my heart. The world out there may actually call her privileged, and I wouldn't deny that. But I'm giving this privileged daughter of mine, which some of you may be as well, 4 years at a prestigious Christian university to become the woman that her mom and I want her to become. We want her to become a healthy young woman that knows what healthy relationships are. We want her to earn a college degree so that she can be financially self-sustaining and not be vulnerable to the financial difficulties that traffickers often prey upon. And finally, we want her to understand that she may be the center of Dad's heart, but she is not the center of the universe, and that she is called to do more. And that she must go serve, and she must make this world a better place. Even one, David did it. Maddie can do it too. But I'm going to give this privileged daughter 4 years to do that. And yet most healing and restoration programs around the United States are accepting survivors from human sex trafficking. And they come alcohol dependent and drug addicted, and emotionally and psychologically abused and physically tortured. And we say we're going to heal them and we're going to make them into this similar type of woman in 3, 6, maybe 9 months. And that's simply not true. That's impossible. And perhaps that's why the recidivism rates are 80 to 90%. These survivors deserve everything that my daughter deserves. And as I challenged my own thinking, as we as an organization challenged our own thinking, and we looked at the way we treat our own daughters and what they're afforded and the resources they're given to become the young women that we want them to become, why aren't survivors afforded and treated and given those same things? And so in 2019, we established a place called RH Farms. It is the nation's first 3-year restoration community solely dedicated to the survivors of human sex trafficking. And you ask why, maybe why 3 years? Because they deserve it. They deserve it. You see, we were tired of saying no. We average one phone call or one email a day asking if we will accept a survivor, asking if we have the capacity to take one more. And we found it unacceptable to continue to say no. And as the Department of Justice and the FBI and KBI and NBI and Homeland Security and local hospitals and even tattoo parlor shops and schools and churches would call us and email us and say, can you take one more? It broke our hearts to say no. A couple of weeks ago in Kansas City, A young girl slipped a note in the offering plate at the end of her service, alerting her pastor that she was trafficked by her parents. And they called us. And we won't say no. We established RH Farms. Again, it's a 3-year restoration community. The first year, survivors come to us, and we have a lot to do with them. One, we have to get them emotionally and psychologically healthy. We have to get them nutritionally healthy and physically healthy. We do have to do some things that, frankly, they don't like take away their cell phone, limit their internet access, control what they watch on TV, control the music they listen to. Get rid of all the negativity and the bad messaging, the things that aren't healthy for them. Teach them funny things like how to be bored. I have 4 children, I'm not sure any of them know how to be bored. But most importantly, in that first year, to how to let others bless them, how to let others come alongside them and take journeys with them. What we do at Restoration House is not done to survivors, it's done with survivors. And it's hard for people to learn to let others come alongside them unconditionally. We teach them that love and friendship is not transactional. In their second year, they started a jobs training program in one of the many microenterprises on RH Farms, where we produce products and goods to be resold. And they learned job training skills like sales and marketing and logistics and procurement and inventory management and finances and accounting. They also start an online education program, working toward a degree from an accredited university or college. Most, we walk through the process of finishing their GED first. In their third year, they continue their job training program, but in their third year, they're now promoted to a supervisor or manager with greater responsibilities and accountabilities. They finish their online education program and will have earned an associate's degree, or for those that came with college credit, perhaps a bachelor's degree. And they will spend their third year on RH Farms in a tiny house or a cottage, so that they have a year of independent living, learning to pay their own bills and take care of their own yards and their own grocery shopping lists, all the things that they're going to need to survive in the real world. So that when they graduate, they have 2 years of work experience, one as a supervisor or manager. They have an associate's or bachelor's degree from an accredited university or college, and they have a year of independent living. But most importantly, they're now surrounded by a network of people that will never leave their side. So what's this year going to bring? 2019 was amazing, and we are not resting. We do not rest on our laurels and in reward and recognition. Instead, the board goes back to work, and they push us to dream bigger and to do more. So in 2020, we want to expand RH Farms to a capacity of 40 adult women survivors. Sadly, that will make us the largest residential community in the United States solely dedicated to human sex trafficking survivors at 40, and we're going to do it. And we're not stopping there. James McNutt is here. I don't know where James is, I can't see. James is part of a highly respected architectural firm in Kansas City, NSPJ. And NSPJ has worked with us pro bono. And they have done all of the drawings and all of the development for plans to build a 40-acre restoration community where survivors can come and be educated, be equipped with job skills, and even find medical treatment on site, and it's going to have a capacity of 400. I've told you the why. I've told you the what. I've just told you the when, and tonight is a big part of that when, right now. And now I need to tell you how. It costs Restoration House about $60 a day per survivor. That includes their housing, their food, their clothing, all of their utilities, their medical care, the transportation and logistics, individual counseling, group therapy, addiction treatment. It also includes things on the farm that they've never seen and that has never been done. Holistic therapies, like horticultural therapies and gardening and lawn and landscaping. And small animal therapies with chickens and Mediterranean miniature donkeys and Nigerian dwarf goats. If you've never seen Nigerian dwarf goats, Google that later, you'll buy 20. Because we understand that we must teach them and help them love those things and take care of those small animals before they can love humans again. Because my sister survivors at RH Farms don't trust anyone. And it's going to take time. At $60 a day, some may scoff and say, wow, that's expensive. Yet taxpayers don't scoff at the $90 a day it costs us to incarcerate a person in our jails. We're here tonight to make room for more. Restoration House is 99% funded by individuals and organizations like you. We're not funded by grants and government subsidies and reimbursements. We are funded by hearts. I've always said this mission does not have a problem with the depths of people's pockets. It has a problem with the depths of people's hearts. But tonight I see 600 hearts that have joined us here to make a difference and to make more room. I want to try something. You all are going to have to push yourselves back from your tables a little bit. If you're a mom or a dad with a daughter, please stand. If you are a brother or a sister of a sister, please stand. If you're an aunt or uncle of a niece, please stand. And if you are a business owner, pastor, or community leader, please stand. Please join us tonight. Be part of the solution, not sorry. Join us in being part of the answer, not an apology. Tonight is a night of generosity that we can send a message throughout this metropolitan area that Kansas City will no longer appear on human sex trafficking lists for the reason it does, and instead it will appear on that list as number one, as the number one central healing location for survivors of human sex trafficking. Before I close, close with this. Please continue to stand. My staff won't think this is weird because they've heard this from me for a year. I love you. I do. And I love you enough to tell you this, and I'll end. He is who he says he is. He wants a relationship with you. And whatever your relationship with it, with him is currently, he called you here tonight on purpose. Let's live that purpose. Let's say yes. And let's raise the resources to add more and give a home and a hope to more survivors. Thank you.